Dear congregation, we all have experienced the difficulties of trying to talk to a live person, to call on the phone and to meet an answering machine with all kinds of options. If you need this, press 1. If you need that, press 2, and so forth. And finally, perhaps the option that if you would like to speak with a living person, with an agent or so, press 0, and then to find out that you're back in square 1 and hang up, being frustrated, wasting your time and not being able to get through to someone. There are many people in the world, even perhaps among us, who think it's the same when calling upon the Lord our God in prayer. No answer, they say. Some conclude in the world that God doesn't exist at all and give up on Him. Others say, perhaps among us, that say He hears others but not me. What about you, my dear friend? Do you believe that God would let you call on Him a lifetime without ever answering you? Do you believe you can cry to Him by day and by night, confessing your sins, turning to Him, to His Word, without granting it to you? Is that the picture God gives of Himself and of us? That we would be the ones who desire salvation and that God is the one who does not? As we prepare ourselves for the celebration of the Lord's Supper, it's important that we know what it is to cry to God and what it is that we may expect from Him in return. This evening, we wish to do that with God's help from His Word, from Psalm 34, verse 6. And then on Sunday, God willing, from verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 6. When we hear and read the Word of God to us, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." Our theme is a wonderful encouragement. In the first place, we see a poor man's cry. In the second place, we see a hearing God. And in the third place, a sure salvation. So a wonderful encouragement from the Word of God. You see there in the first place a poor man's cry. You could say misery. Second place, a hearing God. You could say deliverance. And in the third place, a sure salvation. So we could say gratitude. A poor man's cry. David's heart is filled with gratitude toward the Lord his God for who he is and for what he has done for him already in his life. And he desires to magnify, to glorify, and to praise the name of God. He says, "I will bless the Lord at all times, always. At all times, his praise shall continually be in my mouth." And he calls us, the congregation, to join him. Verse 3, it says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name, together." What's the occasion? Well, we read together also from 1 Samuel 21. And the introduction of the psalm points at it also. David gives the reason himself. He was in great straits. He was in great misery. in the midst of which he cried to God. He cried to God for help. We read it in verse 4. I sought the Lord. He was seeking God in the midst of that trial in which he was. And in verse 6, our text, this poor man, speaking about himself, cried. Boys and girls, you remember how King Saul hated David. For all David's successes, all the victories he had fought, he knew that David would be the one to take his place, and he sought to kill him. Tried many times, but always failed, for the Lord took care of David. Even though David knew that, yet there were many times where he lost sight of the promises of God and the certainty of the fact that he would become king, and then he resorted to ways that were not pleasing to God's sight to save his life. We find that in 1 Samuel 21, where David is so discouraged that one day he will perish in the hand of Saul that he flees outside of the country into the city of Gath, the city of the Philistines. But the Philistines said to each other, "Is not this David, the king of the land?" Striking that they already recognize him as that while he's not even yet the king. King Saul is still ruling. They recognize him for who he is. Has he not killed 10,000? Many of whom also from us, the people said. So they took David and brought him before Achish, their king, or how they called him, their Abimelech. The word Abimelech actually is his title. It's not his name. His name was Achish, but Abimelech was like king or pharaoh, a title. That's how he read also in the beginning of the psalm. And again, to save his life, David resorts to a very strange way. He acts as if he lost his mind. He acts like a madman, hoping that they would think he'd be such a harmless fool that he could easily let him go. And in spite of that, the Lord still spared him, even through this way of sin. How often, dear congregation, are we like David? Not only that we resort to all kinds of foolish ways to get ourselves out of the troubles in which we brought ourselves, but even in the very ways that we sometimes too seek help from those that cannot give help, put our trust in men instead of in the Lord, seeking our comfort and security in the world and in the provisions of the world. Of course, that doesn't mean that we may not use that which the Lord provides in His providence for us. But if we put our trust in it, the Lord says that we should not put our trust in man, not even in princes, but in Him alone. But even though David does that, the Lord still spared him and delivered him and saved him out of his troubles. And he was driven from Abimelech's presence. Very clear, David cried out to God. This poor man cried. You notice the congregation, it doesn't say, this poor man prayed. But he cried. It doesn't say he cried well, or I cried using the right words. You see, it wasn't about a beautiful, well-worded, well-thought-out prayer. David wasn't saved because he prayed so well. He was saved because he cried to God. To say what he said. Simple. He cried. Even the very youngest in our midst can do that. For if it would depend on how beautiful we could pray or how well we could pray, who would be able to pray aright? He cried to God out of the depths of his misery, right in the midst of his fears. He thought he was going to die, and he cried to God, maybe not even with his lips, maybe just from his heart, as he was acting the madman in the presence of the king. He cried to God. You don't read it in 1 Samuel 21, but we do read that in this psalm. This poor man cried. Perhaps you feel ashamed and embarrassed about your prayers before God, especially your private prayers, when you go in circles in your mind, and when you sometimes go away drifting and dreaming away, and if you would have others to look in and listen in on your prayers, you would be embarrassed. Poor prayers. But do you think David was proud of his prayer? Or that he perhaps even was satisfied with his prayer? Of course not. He likely wasn't even thinking about how he prayed. He simply cried. He wasn't focused on his prayer. He was focused on God. This poor man cried so that God would hear it. Then you're not thinking about how you're praying or how well you're praying. I sought the Lord. I cried. There wasn't anything in himself at this particular time that he was happy about. You can be sure of that. Convicted of getting himself in such misery, such predicament, because of his own sin and foolishness. Perhaps he was almost sinking away in despair. Certainly not satisfied about his prayers. Certainly not expecting that God would help him for any reasons in him. Perhaps you also know that the troubles you experience, perhaps even now, even this week, are self-inflicted. Meaning, you caused them yourselves with your sins, just like David did. So we not only have to face our troubles, but also our convictions of sin and of guilt. Whatever sin we may have committed, whether it be a bold and daring sin, or whether it had been maybe just a way of being backslidden, not having been in times of meditation and devotion to the Lord, and not being in the Word as you should have, and your conscience accuses you, and you know that that's the reason why you have these troubles. So perhaps you too say, how can I expect anything from the Lord? All it sinned away. Not only a poor prayer, but also a bad life. What expectation can we have? Well, the congregation, what could David expect? Nothing of himself either. And yet, this poor man cried. He was looking not only out of his troubles to God, but away from his troubles to God. Isn't it strikingly similar to what we heard last Sunday from Isaiah 66 verse 2? To this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. Well, so David stood undoubtedly before that earthly king. But to whom does God look? Well, to one who is poor in himself, both in his life as well as in his prayer. Nothing to commend ourselves unto God. But dear congregation, let not conviction of sin keep us from crying to him. Rather, let it drive us to God all the more, that the cry would be pressed out of our heart. This poor man, this poor woman, this poor boy, this poor girl cried. But how can we expect him to hear us and to deliver us? Maybe a question. That brings us to our second point, a hearing God. You see, the Lord will hear the cry of the poor and the needy, not because of who they are, but because who he is. He is a hearing God. In spite of David's sin, we read that his cry was heard. And the Lord heard him, we read. Notice that both first phrases, the first and the second phrase, do not have an object. It says this poor man cried. It doesn't say cried to God. He just cried. And you notice that the word him in the second phrase is in italics, meaning it's not there in the original. So it says, actually, the Lord heard. This man cried, and the Lord heard. There's nothing that escapes him. He hears all things. He hears the needy when they cry. And the Lord heard, meaning he responded, he answered by his word, by his spirit, but also by his providence, by his providing the remedy, by his providing all that is needed, not only at the very moment, but God provides. The word comes from providere, means to foresee it. God not only would give it at the very moment, but he had foreseen from all eternity that this moment would come about. Yes, he would bring it about. And so the Lord, in his providence, fulfills that which he intends to do by his word and by his spirit. So David was delivered not only from his troubles, in verse 6, but also, if you read in verse 4, from his fears. Not only from outward circumstances and outward troubles, but also from inward anxiety. It was not only an outward deliverance, but more importantly, an inward deliverance. To this man will I look. The Lord looks then not only at the outward appearance, but he looks into the heart. Even to him that is poor in spirit and contrite, repentant, broken, and trembles at my word. Notice how this look, as we found it last Sunday in Isaiah 66, verse 2, is also in this psalm. In verse 15, where we read, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous." The Lord looks upon the righteous. "And his ears are open unto their cry." It is clear that God both sees and hears the needy when they cry. He has seen them from all eternity already. Even before they cry, he is ready. He is there to hear. His ears are open, always open unto their cry. He knows them even before they cry. Yes, he even causes them to cry. He brings it about. He takes care of all things. His eyes were upon them and for them from all eternity. And in time, by day and by night. It's not so with the wicked. Psalm 34, verse 16 goes on and says, "The face of the Lord is against those that do evil." He's for those that cry unto him, but he's against those that do not cry unto him, that can live without him, that are not poor and needy in his presence, that can live well without him and his righteousness. The Lord cannot look peaceably upon the wicked. He must consume them. Isn't it amazing that he restrains that and that he yet doesn't burst forth and consumes all those who are not safe in Christ, so that yet they may turn to him and cry like this poor man? But we read in 17, the righteous, they cry. And the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles. But you may ask, who are the righteous? Well, we know from Romans 3, as we have seen recently, in verse 10 it says, there is none righteous. No, not one. Not even David is righteous in and of himself. No one of himself, no one by nature is righteous. So they would not qualify anyone to so come to God with any righteousness that they may think they have. There's nothing that will allow us into his presence. Nothing in us, that is. But everything in the Lord Jesus Christ. And only in the Lord Jesus Christ. Being cleansed and covered by his blood, that which he shed on Golgotha, of which the Lord's Supper is a visible testimony, a visible declaration. The broken bread and the poured out wine, signifying and sealing the broken body and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Only, we read recently in Lord's Day 23, only the perfect satisfaction, righteousness and holiness of Christ can bring us into the presence of God without being consumed. Perhaps this is your struggle. Perhaps this is what you're wrestling with. How do I know if the Lord heard me? If you heard my cry, how do I know if I am righteous before him? The congregation, you can be sure that David had those fears too. I'm sure he didn't feel very righteous when he stood there before King Achish, acting the fool, having gotten himself in such a predicament. He had no right to be heard. Just as we have no right to be heard, for he too had sinned grievously. Yet we do read in verse 4, and we read, I sought him and he heard me. Or you could say, I sought him and I found him. Or better yet, he sought me and found me. For so the Lord works, the congregation, in his fatherly providence. He'll bring the sinner to the word, or the word to the sinner, but the two shall meet. But the question whether we have an answer to when we call upon the name of the Lord is here. Some people say, I've called upon the name of the Lord, he hasn't answered me. My dear friend, what is his word all about? Isn't that an answer to our calling? When we pray, we speak to him. When he speaks to us, he does that by his word and by his spirit. He not only, David, would declare, heard my cry, but he worked it in me. It's very clear, David gave all the glory to God, as we saw in the first three verses. Magnify the Lord with me, he says. It is all the Lord's doing. But knowing that it was God's work, it did not stop him from crying to God. Knowing that only God could save, did not stop him from fleeing to him. It didn't stop him from crying out. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. David believed he would be heard, and that he would be saved. He trusted the Lord would hear him. Why? Well, first of all, because God says so. He hears the needy when they cry. The Lord many times had spoken already to David. He knew it also from past experience, from texts. It's evident from texts like Psalm 40 verse 17, another Psalm of David, where he says, but I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer, make no tarrying. The Lord thinketh upon me. God's thoughts for good are towards me. See, David doesn't go by his own thoughts, thinking, well, how shall the Lord hear me? Indeed, impossible, closed forever. But he takes refuge to the Word of God and to God's thoughts. God's thoughts in David's mind are higher than his own thoughts. Whose thoughts are highest in your mind? Yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Make no tarrying, O my God. You see, dear congregation, we also have this word, the very same word David had, and more. Not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament. Make no mistake about it, dear congregation. God is a willing God and an able God to save sinners. Unwilling sinners, unable sinners. We have to do with a willing God and an unwilling sinner. So when a sinner is convicted of his sins and flees to God, cries out for mercy, will God refuse it? And now we have, in addition to all that, even tonight's testimony of David from Psalm 34. David is an example before us. Also in the fact that he calls others to be examples for him and for us, like is in 5. Verse 5, to witness the same truth, they looked unto him, others looked unto him and were likened, and their faces were not ashamed. In other words, other people looked to the Lord and received light in their darkness. When they trusted in the Lord, they were not put to shame. They were an encouragement to him. And he sets it before us that it's not only his own testimony, and not only from others, but it's God's very own word to encourage us and to cause us to be an encouragement to others. And notice how David simply speaks of himself as this poor man. Though he also is named in the Bible as the man after God's own heart, as the king, King David, yet he simply describes himself as this poor man. You see, David wasn't delivered because he was a special man. He wasn't delivered, as we saw earlier, because of his prayers, that he were so well prayed, he just cried. He wasn't delivered because of anything in himself. Anything and everything in himself testified against him, so he couldn't bring it to God as a payment. His eyes are fixed on the Lord and on his word. That's why he was encouraged. He wasn't delivered from his troubles or from his fears by anything he was or by anything he has done. His righteousness, being a righteous indeed, crying to God, only flowed from Christ. From faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. As it is with all believers of all ages. There is no other righteousness but that which is of Christ. You see, he had been humbled many times under the mighty hand of God. Throughout the Psalms, you read about that. Throughout the history of David, many times he came into predicaments, many times due to his own sin, and yet the Lord delivered him out of them all. Been humbled many times before God. Verse 18, the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Those that are humbled, those that see in themselves nothing but poverty and sin and cry to God, those may be encouraged because the Lord says, such I be nigh to. The Lord is nigh to them. Dear congregation, did you learn by grace that you are nothing but sin? That you are unrighteous? That you cannot pray as you ought to? That you cannot live as you ought to? That you cannot come into God's presence as you ought to and as you wish to? And do you grieve over that? Is it your burden? Do you repent of it? And do you hunger and thirst after Christ and His righteousness? Well, then God is nigh to you. Then you shall be filled. Now by faith, and God willing, this coming Sunday, you may have a foretaste of that, not only in your souls as you hear the word proclaimed, but also as you may partake of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper. May we have so fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, looking away from our sins and our shortcomings, surrendering our poor prayers to Him and looking only to the Lord Jesus Christ, who not only suffered and died on the cross, but who now is seated at the right hand of His Father, remembering His death till He comes. But then faith will be changed into beholding, into seeing and tasting in a fullness that we cannot even begin to imagine now. Now we see Jesus only as He is revealed in His Word. Led by the Holy Spirit to believe what Jesus said to Philip. In John 14 verse 9, "He that has seen me, he that has fled to me, he that has cried after me, has seen the Father." And then of course, those that have so lived will see Him face to face. And that forever. And that brings us to our third point, a sure salvation. In the third place then, a sure salvation. How can such a sinner as David, having brought himself into these troubles by his own sin, be so sure of his salvation? How can you and I be so sure? Well, because God does it, that's why. Because it's His work. His work never fails. You see, salvation is not of man, not by man, but it is for man and by God. It's worked by Him in a way whereby He even makes use of our own sins to bring us in ways that we need Him. Way of emptying of self to be filled with what is of God and of Christ. It's laid hold of by faith in Him. Zephaniah 3:12 says it so beautifully, "I will leave in the midst of thee an afflicted and poor people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord." Poor and afflicted indeed, but they will trust in the name of the Lord. Such only will do that. For if we are not poor and afflicted in ourselves, we have no need for God. Without looking outside of ourselves, we are by nature very satisfied with ourselves, including our religion. That's why it's often so puzzling for those that are discovered to themselves and see who they are. And instead of thinking that they are lost, if they look to Christ, that it's not for them, it is for such. It's exactly the opposite of what they think and feel. If only they would come with that to the Lord and to His sure word. So here we have such a poor one in self who trusts in the Lord his God. David is one of such, an afflicted and poor one. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. You see, David, just like you and me, a slow learner. But he did learn over time certain lessons. That which he learned before Abimelech in 1 Samuel 21, he again did later when he came back to Ziklag in 1 Samuel 30. You can read it over perhaps tonight. 1 Samuel 30, where again he had gotten into the same predicament or a similar one because of his own sin. He had lied to Achish for a long time and finally was sent home and found the city of Ziklag burned. Wives, children, and possessions taken. And he got in severe trouble. For his own men who loved him and fought for him were about to stone him, so angry they were with him. But then we read in verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Again, there was no reason for David to expect anything. Again, he didn't have time to offer a beautiful prayer. He cried there again to God, and perhaps even a wordless prayer. But the Lord heard, because he is a hearing God. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Note again how definite and sure and complete the salvation is, and saved him out of all his troubles. As in verse 4, and delivered me from all my fears. You see, the Lord not only will deliver such from the consequences of sin, but from sin itself. Through a way of purging, never attained to fully in this lifetime, but the Lord will continually keep his people at that place. So that they continue to cry to him and trust in him. These two go together. God's salvation is perfect. It is complete. And it's forever. And David is overwhelmed by it. To be saved from such misery, from such sin, such a sinner as he is, and to be brought to such glorious salvation and eternal blessing. You see, not only his conscience is at peace with God in Christ, but he, through this way, is learning to partake of Christ's holiness as well. You see, for such salvation will produce holiness. To be brought from the greatest evil to the greatest good will work such gratitude in a soul who looks to Christ that he will indeed love God above all, and his neighbor as himself. And therefore David calls others to join him. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. He knows it's only because of Christ's righteousness imputed to him that he is declared a righteous man, though he knows that in himself he is an unrighteous man, a self-righteous man. He knows it is grace. He knows it more and more, increasingly so, as he's led through all these circumstances. As more and more comes clear to light who he is, but also who God is. Grace. You know the acronym, God's riches at Christ's expense. Christ suffered and died. God, his and our Heavenly Father, accepted this perfect sacrifice. When Jesus cried, "It is finished," the Father rent the veil from the top to the bottom. The curtain of the temple was opened. The way to the Holy of Holiest was open for sinners. Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. For poor men, poor women, poor boys and girls that cry to God. He hears them. That's why David now also not only is encouraged himself, but encourages us, you and me, to seek him. Verse 4. To look to him. Verse 5. To cry to him. Verse 6. Continually calling us away from ourselves to look, to cry, to seek God in Christ. As a sinner. To come as a sinner. As he did. The congregation, if we indeed come in the name of Jesus, we not only shall be accepted by the Lord, but we shall be safe forever. It's irreversible. Look at verse 7. How secure David felt himself to be. He knew that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. The angel of the Lord Jesus Christ himself, encamping around them. Setting up camp to dwell, to live with every child of God forever. To be a wall of fire round about them and continually deliver those who fear him with a childlike fear and tremble at his word. Stand in awe before a God of so great salvation. David wasn't delivered but once, but continually. It's an ongoing deliverance as an afflicted and poor people who trust in the name of the Lord. What a blessed life. Not an easy life, but the life of an unrepentant sinner is not easy either. Who has an easy life? David is so convicted of this sure salvation that he says in verse 8, and we hope to consider that Sunday morning, God willing, all taste and see. He's calling us to come. He says, come, taste, see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, forsake all that is of self. Cast yourself upon the Lord. Trust in him and in his word. Blessed is the man. Do you feel broken, contrite about your sins? Do you confess them before him? The Lord is nigh to you if you trust in him. You have many trials. Well, verse 19 we read, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Many afflictions come in the way of the righteous, so that they may cry again and again, so that they may flee for refuge to him again and again, and put their trust in him, and they, and you and I, dear congregation, we shall not be put to shame. Verse 20, we read that not one of our bones shall be broken. As it was of Jesus, so it shall be of all those that are in him. And so David comes to the conclusion of this psalm in 22 and says, the Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. You see the definite language. Those that put their trust in him shall not be desolate. It is God who speaks. Isn't that a sure salvation? It's not because we trust so well or we cry so well, that it's because God is who he says he is. There lies the assurance of our salvation. Well, the congregation, is your life like David's life, as we have seen it described in this psalm? Then you belong at the Lord's table. If your life is not like it, you don't. It's really as simple as that. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Amen.